مُحِيطٌ بِمَعْرِفَتِهِ وَرَدَعَتْ عَظَمَتُهُ الْعُقُولُ وَالَّذِي لَا تُوَارِي عَنْهُ سَمَاءٌ سَمَاءً وَلَا أَرْضٌ أَرْضًا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لساخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إن عليا لأخيش في ذات الله صلوات صلى على محمد وآل محمد I would like to mention the wasiyyat of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam tonight, the wasiyyat and final will that he did towards his children and his family members. And this wasiyyat has been narrated in Nahjul Balagha. The wasiyyat and final will of a person usually includes the summary and the summarized version of the most important points that he wants to make and most important issues that he wants to raise and draw our attention towards those issues. So here Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam says that Usikuma wa jami'a wildi, addressing to Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that I did this wasiyyat towards you and to all my children wa ahli and all the family members wa man balaghahu kitabi, and all those people whom my writing reaches. So basically, we all are included in the wasiyyat of Amirul Mu'mineen, in the mukhatab, being the audience and mukhatab of the wasiyyat of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. وَمَنْ بَلَغَهُ كِتَابِي بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَنَظْمِ أَمْرِكُمْ. Wasiyyat, he starts by talking about the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And taqwa, which has been emphasized so many times in Nahjul Balagha, every now and then, almost every page of Nahjul Balagha you open, you find Imam Ali alayhi salam is talking about taqwa, and Quran is also full of talking about taqwa and the muttaqeen. And Islam has made it clear that the najat and success on the Day of Judgment belongs to Ahlul Taqwa only. So no one but the Ahlul Taqwa, no one but the Muttaqeen are going to succeed on the Day of Judgment. The simplest definition of Taqwa, which is grammatically in Arabic derived from the word of Al-Wiqaya Wal-Waqi, Waqa Yaqi Al-Waqyo Wal-Wiqayato. Al-Wiqaya means shield. So taqwa is actually a shield that guards our spirituality, guards our life, guards ourselves from anything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. when we are taking care of our spirituality and we are protecting our spirituality, then we are on guard. We are on the watch not to perform anything that displeases Allah. So if you have this quality and this noor of taqwa in your soul, that you are always on the watch, you're always careful not to perform anything that displeases God, then you have the essence of the noor of taqwa in your soul. So taqwa is best translated in English language as God wariness. That means you are always wary of God. You always care about God. For every decision of your life, at every intersection of your life, when you are about to make a decision, you know, about to make a choice, you make those of the choices that please Allah. If you are like this, then you have taqwa. So, Imam Ali alayhi salam's first nasihat, wasiyat, is about taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The minimum level of taqwa is already defined, that we abstain from all the harams and perform all the wajibs. That's the minimum. Especially, brothers and sisters, when we are in this holy month of Ramadan, which is considered as Qurratu Shuhur, you know, the most superior of all the months, and the month of the rahmat and mercy and forgiveness of God, this month provides the best opportunity for all of us who are invited as guests by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His divine gathering and divine domain, and towards His ziyafat as guests. When we reach Allah's domain, how can we reach Allah's domain? By abstaining from the things that He dislikes. So we have to make a commitment in the month of Ramadan. If I did not pay khums, this is the time. Now is the time that I make an ahd and mithaq and covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I would not leave without, you know, paying and calculating my khums towards Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. If I do not pray, God forbid, if I fail to perform my fastings properly, if I perform ghibat, God forbid, or tuhmat, or different kinds of harams, lying, which is one of the very commonly found spiritual diseases in the community, that people very frequently lie for the heck of it, even though we don't get no benefit from the lying, you know. قُلِ الْحَقَّ وَإِنْ كَانَ فِيهِ Say the haq, although there is a harm involved, you think there is a harm involved in it, فَإِنَّ فِيهِ نَجَاتَكَ, because in saying haq is your success, in saying haq lies your success. وَدَعِ الْبَاطِلَ وَإِنْ كَانَ فِيهِ نَجَاتَكَ, and leave the batil, although you think there is your najat and salvation in saying the kizb, but fa inna fihi halakaka, because in the kizb and lie lies your halakat and destruction. So these are the this month of Ramadan is the best time for us to be serious, that how much do I give importance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided this list of duties through His messenger in the Sharia, through His book, through the sunnah of Rasulullah, through the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wasalam. And this is the best time that I learn the rules and tenets and the rulings of the Sharia to at least abstain from the sins in the month of Ramadan. So, wa nazme amrikum. Well, abstaining from the sins, you know, when we say, well, it's some people, so that's why we have to elaborate it. Some people, when you talk about sins, they always are focused on the personal kind of wajibat of Islam and personal nature of haram things. Unfortunately, that's the way some people think. Although, ideally speaking, we don't need to elaborate. But since there are misconceptions already existing in the communities, generally speaking, so we are forced to elaborate and make a point that in Islam, The sins are not just personal in nature. And the wajibat are also not just personal in nature. They are wajibat which are related to the social and political duties in Islam. And there are sins also which are related to the political and social duties of Islam, which people don't even consider to be wajib. You know, you look at the gathering of Ashura. Look at the gathering of Eid al-Fitr. How many people participate in the Salat Eid al-Fitr? You go to any city, you go to any country, you go to any state, you find the number of people of the Isna Ashari community, I'm not talking about other communities right now, the number of people who are participating in the Salat of Eid al-Fitr. And you compare the number of people who participate in the Yawm al-Quds. Why is the difference? Because people don't consider it to be a fariza. Isn't that right? They consider Yawm al-Quds is not a fariza. It's not necessary on me to buy, you know, هذا ليس لازما علي. ليست فريضتي. ان کے وظیفے یہ من نہیں کہ من بیرم احتجاج بکنم سر خیابان. That's not my job to go and protest for Masjid al-Aqsa. It's not my fariza. So can you think that if Imam Ali alayhi salam was present today, Imam Ali would allow a mosque of Muslims be occupied by the Tahut? Is that the kind of Imam Ali you believe in? This is not our Imam Ali alayhi salam. No. Our Imam Ali alayhi salam was not like this. He will never ever allow any Muslim mosque to be occupied by any kafir. But we allow it because we are silent. And we don't even consider it to be a fariza. The biggest a person would do, he would start praying and fasting. Maybe go for Hajj. You know, or maybe starts namaz e shab. Bada kaddu mein teer mara to namaz e shab padni shuru kar di. That's the farthest we reach when we think about becoming a muttaqi and pious. You know, performing personal nature of ibadat. What benefit does Islam and ummat and Islamic ummah, Prophet has given us the concept of ummat, one nation. You are not alone on planet earth. You are just one individual. We are living in one ummat. Whether you realize or you don't realize, the facts of the matter are not going to change and they are not left at the mercy of our realization or not realization. That's the way the facts, the geographical and political and geopolitical situation is in the world. So we would be dumb if we don't realize our social and political duties. Islam has already made it clear for those of the believers who are serious. The teachings of Ahlul Bayt have zero ambiguity. There is no gray area in Islam. Everything is black and white. If we don't know, that's our fault. Let's not blame our jahl and ignorance on the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. That's our own fault. So, taqwa can never be proved in Islam unless and until you perform all the duties of Islam. Not just personal level of duties, an individual nature of duties by ignoring the social and political fara'is, which are also part of the fara'is actually, which are more important in Islam than your personal duties. Because if you don't do your personal duties, it's a lesser sin. It can easily be forgiven. But if you don't do your social and political obligations towards the justice system of Islam, then yes, we have been harming the entire Islamic Ummah. So, بِتَقْوَ اللَّهِ وَنَظْمِ أَمْرِكُمْ. I advise you all to all of those مُخَاطَبِين that I already mentioned about the taqwa of Allah and nazm-e amrikum, that means having discipline in the affairs of your life. Was salah-e dhat-e bainikum. Salah dhat-il bain. Salah dhat-il bain in the real sense of the word actually means that if two people have differences, if two persons, families, set of people, whoever have differences among each other, we should move forward to resolve their disputes. And not just resolve the dispute from the surface, which is not going to solve anything. Resolving the disputes, salah-e dhat-e bainikum. Salah-e dhat-e bainikum, our mufassireen and fuqaha have explained that salah-e dhat-e bainikum means that you root out the differences from the roots, so that the roots of the differences no longer exist. So this is you know, and then Imam Ali alayhi salam says, فَإِنِّي سَمِعْتُ جَدَّكُمَا, saying to Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain alayhi salam that I heard your grandfather sallallahu alayhi wa alihi saying, يَقُول صَلَاحُ ذَاتِ بَيْنِكُمْ أَفْضَلْ مِنْ عَامَّةِ الصَّلَاةِ وَالصِّيَامِ. Imam Ali says in his wasiyyat to Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain, I heard from your grandfather Rasulullah saying that resolving the dispute from the root among the people, resolving the roots of the dispute from among the people is superior than 1 year of prayers and 1 year of fasting. How much sawab it has if you just go and spend your 15 minutes of your day and you resolve the roots of the dispute between two mu'min brothers. You get more sawab as compared to praying for 1 year and fasting for 1 year. And then he says that Allah, Allah fil aytam, fala tughibbu afwahahum. Remember Allah, remember Allah, or take care of Allah, take care of Allah regarding the orphans. فَلَا تُغِبُّ أَفْوَاهَهُمْ, don't let their mouths remain open. What a beautiful statement of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Al-ghib, in Arabic we call ghib, that means you do something with a gap. You do it one day and you don't do it on the next day. Then you do it the other day, then again you leave it on the next day, you don't do it. So doing things with a gap, this is called ghib in Arabic. Prophet has said, Zurni ghibban, tazdad hubban. That's the hadith of Rasulullah, that do my ziyarat ghibban. That means come one day for my ziyarat, then don't come on the next day. Then come on the other day, don't come on the next day. Doing the ziyarat of Rasulullah with a gap. This keeps the azamat in our eyes, because lots of people in the society, you know, they don't have that ma'rifat of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. They are simple-minded people. So that's the best option for them, to not to lose the azamat of ziyarat and azamat of Rasulullah and the greatness of Rasulullah. Those people who are Ahle Irfan and Ma'rifat, for them it's not a problem. They can visit, you know, every day, and they're not like regular people, you know. I remember Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah Alayhi when he was in Najaf. For 14 and a half years in his life in exile, he did not miss the ziyarat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam for one day in 14 and a half years. Whether it was raining, whether it was very, very cold weather in Najaf, it was extreme showers and rains, doesn't matter. Every day, every night of his 14 and a half years of stay, he never missed the ziyarat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So the hisab of Urafa is different. But this is the hisab of ignorant people who should do visit and do the ziyarat with a gap. So ghib, what I was explaining to you, means doing something with a gap. So that means Allah, Allah fil aytam, fala tughibbu afwahahum. It would mean that you give, remember, take care of Allah regarding the orphans. So don't make your behavior like this, that you feed the orphans on one day and then you do not feed them on the next day. You feed them on the other day and then you do not feed them on the next day. You provide money for the orphans on one month, the next month you don't provide nothing. Don't do like this. This is not the way of supporting the orphans. You know? So this is not the way. فَلَا يَضِيعُوا بِحَضْرَتِكُمْ. Don't let the orphans be, become zai' and devastated in your presence. You were there and the orphans of the mu'min community were getting devastated and you did nothing about it. So don't let that happen. You know, if the child of an orphan raises his hands for the dua, this dua is one of those duas that reaches straight to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have any dua that you want your dua to be accepted by God, we all have du'as that we want our du'a to be accepted. We should better give the money to the families of those people who died in the fi sabilillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Families who are ahle shahadat. And the orphan of a shaheed, if he raises his hands his son or his daughter, if he raises or she raises her hands towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a dua, this dua is never rejected by Allah. So, especially in the month of Ramadan, where alhamdulillah that we are living in the, you know, in a country where we have, you know, every kind of material blessings also awarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more than majority of the world, majority of the countries and majority of the nations in the world, we have more material blessings available in our control. So the more your ni'mat, the more your accountability. The lesser your ni'mat, the lesser your accountability. That's the rule of the thumb. So since we have, mashallah, a lot of material blessings also, more than most of the nations, so our accountability is also more. وَلَا يَضِيعُ بِحَضْرَتِكُمْ. Don't let the orphans get devastated in your presence. And then Imam Ali says, Allah, Allah, فِي جِيرَانِكُمْ. That means take care of Allah. Take care of Allah about your neighbors. Neighbors in Islam have very special position and importance level given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Prophet had said in his hadith that ma zala yusi bihim hatta dhananna annahu sayuwarrithuhum. Jibreel was constantly advising me about what behavior we should have about towards the neighbors. Constantly advising me about what should we do towards the neighbors. So much that I was forced into think. I thought that maybe the neighbors will become the inheritors. Maybe the neighbors would end up inheriting the inheritance and miras from us. In other words, so Islam has a lot of importance given to the neighbor. Doesn't matter if he's a mu'min or he's a kafir. That really doesn't matter. We have responsibilities towards our neighbors, and we should take care of them. فَإِنَّهُمْ وَصِيَّةُ نَبِيِّكُمْ. Because the neighbors are the wasiyat of your prophet, Imam Ali said. Neighbors are not the wasiyat. Prophet did the wasiyat about the neighbor. Isn't that right? Prophet did his wasiyat about the neighbors, regarding the neighbors. But Imam Ali does not say that in his wasiyat. He says that neighbors are the wasiyat of your prophet. Isn't that right that he should better say that the wasiyat of your prophet was regarding the neighbors? Why does Imam Ali says that neighbors are themselves the wasiyat of your prophet, instead of saying that prophet did wasiyat about the neighbors, prophet did wasiyat regarding the neighbors? He did not say that. He said the neighbors themselves are the wasiyat of your prophet. So this in Arabic we say, sometimes you are talking about adalat. Let's suppose you are praising about a mu'min, that such and such mu'min is adil person, he is muttaqi, he is zahid, he is wara, he is pious, whatever. You are praising a mu'min, you call him adil. You know, Zaidun adilun, Ahmad adilun, Ahmad is an adil person. This is one way of expressing the fact. Another better way in Arabic language to express the fact is that instead of calling him adil, you say Zaidun adlun. Zaid himself is justice. This in Arabic grammar, it is taught that if you use the masdar instead of the wasf for a person, it causes mubalagha. That means you are making an exaggerated remark about the person. So instead of me saying that Aliyun adilun, Imam Ali is adil, if I say Aliyun adlun, Imam Ali is adalat himself. This is the best way of expressing, and this expresses the mubalagha of adl about Imam Ali's personality. So this statement of Imam Ali alayhi salam, where he says that fa innahum wasiyatu nabiyyakum. That means the neighbors are themselves the wasiyat of Rasulullah. This shows us the mubalagha, how much stress Imam Ali alayhi salam is giving to the taking care of the neighbors. And then he says that Allah, Allah fil Quran. Remember Allah. Remember Allah, or take care of Allah. Take care of Allah regarding the Quran. لا يسبقكم بالعمل به غيركم. No one other than you should take a lead over you regarding Quran. Well, unfortunately, this is also wasiyat of Amir Mumin alayhi salam, like the previous wasaya, is also not acted upon by most of the people in the Islamic Ummah, unfortunately, because we find there are lots of people other than us who are behaving, who are practicing, who are performing some of the nice teachings of Holy Quran better than us, the Muslims. Isn't that right? You find lots of non-Muslims around you who have more akhlaq, at least some of the things of akhlaq. You have better behaviors, better attitudes, more disciplined. You know, they have, if they make a commitment, they fulfill it. You know, how many people, when they make a promise, they fulfill it? If they, you know, if they say something, they do it. They don't lie. There are lots of good attributes found in some of the non-believers, which makes them better from this perspective than the Muslims, better than the Muslims. So we were supposed to take care of the Quran and its values, and not to forget the values of Quran. Imam Ali is not talking about just reading the Quran. So, la yasbiqukum bil amal. No one should take a lead on you on the amal on Quran. Quran requires the amal. It's not just like parroting Quran. It's not a big deal. I open up a Quran just like a parrot, and I keep on reading the verses every day, you know, 50, 100 verses of Quran. I don't know what Quran is talking about. I have no sense of it. I don't read the translation. I don't read the tafsir. I have no meaning what Quran Allah is talking about. Isn't that, what's the difference between this recitation and the recitation of a parrot? Isn't that right? The Prophet had already said, رُبَّ تَالٍ الْقُرْآنَ وَالْقُرْآنُ يَلْعَنُهُ. There are so many reciters of Quran that Quran itself curses them. Quran sends la'nat on the reciters. Quran is not a dead book. It's the noor of Allah. تَجَلَّ لَهُمْ سُبْحَانَهُ فِي كِتَابِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ أَن يَكُونُوا رَأَوْهُ. Didn't Imam Ali say that in Nahjul Balagha? Allah reflects. Allah is reflected in the words of Quran without the people being seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's Allah who is appearing in the form of words. The noor of Allah is appearing in the form of words. How Imam Ali says in Nahjul Balagha, تَجَلَّ لَهُمْ سُبْحَانَهُ فِي كِتَابِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ أَن يَكُونُوا رَأَوْهُ. So when this is the noor of Allah, so it's not a dead book. So it requires us to practice, and the more, the number of ayat we practice in our life, that determines the level of paradise that we would achieve. If you want to know what is the daraja of Jannat and paradise that a person will have on the Day of Judgment, you just look at the number of ayat of Quran that you practiced upon in the life of your dunya. So if you practice upon 70 ayat of Holy Quran in your 90 years of life, you can only manage to practice upon 70 verses of Quran. That's it. The rest of the 6,286 verses counted by Allama Tabatabai, you know, we could not practice upon the rest of the verses of Quran. So then that is what is going to determine our daraja and level in paradise. So as much as we practice from the Quran. And then he says that after that he says, wa Allah Allah fi bayti rabbikum, that take care of Allah about the house of your Lord, that means Kaaba. La tukhalluhu ma baqitum. Don't leave it vacant as long as you are alive. So as long as we are alive, we should never leave the Kaaba, Baitul Haram, vacant. That means some of the Muslims are always obliged in every year to go and perform the Hajj, so that the duties towards the Holy Kaaba are never neglected. Because Kaaba is not an ordinary place. That's the center of earth. That's the center of all the Islamic activity. That's the place from where the Prophet started his propagation. And that's the place where we find Imam Mahdi alayhi salam tomorrow would appear and start his activity from the Holy Kaaba. So that is really the center of Islamic activity. And nothing significant, would happen in the whole world unless there is a significant change happening place at the Holy Kaaba, which requires us to remember our responsibility towards the Holy Kaaba, which is right now hijacked by the Al Saud, La'anatullahi alayhim, who have hijacked the Holy Kaaba for their political goals and not allow the Muslim Ummah to perform their duties towards the Holy Kaaba. So unless the Muslim Ummah performs their duties towards the Holy Kaaba, nothing is going to change. And if we think that there will be a mu'jiza, the mu'jiza are never given to any prophet by Allah or to any wasi of the prophet, deputy of the prophet, the imam, to use for this matter. Mu'jiza are not given for this matter at all. So let's be very clear. Nothing is going to happen with miracles. We are not here to lead our life resting upon the miracles. We have to do our duty, our side of the effort. So it's not out of the mu'jiza. And Allah does not change the destiny of the people, and the people change themselves. So we have to do our responsibility towards the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our sharia says that if at any given period of time there's nobody to go and perform hajj, it's wajib on the waliyul faqih, al-faqih al-jami' al-shara'it, hakim al-shar, to force some people to go for hajj. Because Kaaba can never be neglected to remain vacant like a ghost town. Kaaba can never be kept vacant. Nothing is more important than that. If there is nobody to go, then some will be forced to go. Because at no cost we can leave the Kaaba, unprotected. So, and then at the end he says that فَإِنَّهُ إِن تُرِكَ لَمْ تُنَاظَرُ. If you leave the Holy Kaaba, then you guys, Allah will not pay attention to you. فَإِنَّهُ إِن تُرِكَ لَمْ تُنَاظَرُ. If the Holy Kaaba is left, then Allah will also not pay attention and not do any tawajjuh towards you. So if we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep on having His lutf and fadl on us, then we have to continue doing our responsibility towards the Holy Kaaba. So we find, again, when the Hajis were killed in the year 1987, by Fahad, la'natullah alayh, Imam Khomeini, radwanullah alayh, he said that even if I forgive Saddam, I am never going to forgive Fahad and Ali Saud. There's a crime of Ali Saud is bigger than the crime of Saddam, because it is the haram of amn of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Quran says, man dakhalahu kana amina. So you are actually doing the tawheen of the haram of amn of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just not just that, it's just done because of the dictation of the tawaghit. And because of the dictation of tawhut, the Kaaba has been constantly taken as a captive and asir. And it's the responsibility of Muslim Ummah, as we are talking about Amirul Mumin alayhi salam, and he is doing his wasiyat to Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, to remember the Holy Kaaba. If you leave it alone, then Allah will not pay attention to you. So the Imam of the time visits the Holy Kaaba every year. إن صاحب هذا الأمر لا يحضر البيت في كل موسم. Imam صاحب الزمان عليه السلام appears at the Holy Kaaba in every season of the Hajj, and he has never left the Holy Kaaba, so he is constantly under the tawajjuh and lutf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we want to be under the lutf also, we're also supposed to do our duties towards the Kaaba and towards the Imam. فَالزُّهْدُ فِي الدُّنْيَا أَن تَكُونَ أَن لَا تَكُونَ بِمَا فِي يَدِكَ أَوْسَقْ مِنْكَ بِمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. The definition of zuhd, and I'm going to end my speech. The definition of zuhd is defined as whatever is in your control, whatever you have in your hands, you do not rely on what is, you have less reliance on what is in your hand as compared to your reliance on what is in Allah's hands. If I have my money in my hand, you know, of course some people think this is a very good guarantee for me because I have this much protection, this much insurance, this much money to cover for any unforeseen incidents. So I am relying on the money which is available in my hands. What is the definition of zuhud? Zuhud is defined that your reliance upon what is available in your hands is less as compared to your reliance what is available in Allah's hands. If you have that kind of iman, then it is proven that you have zuhud towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It requires a lot of zuhud that Imam Ali alayhi salam is asking his daughter Umm Kulthum to take away one of the two things from the ma'idah, from the food spread. When Hazrat Umm Kulthum has put two things in front of Imam Ali alayhi salam, when Imam Ali came in the night of Zarbat in the house of Umm Kulthum salamullah alayha, and she put two things in front of Imam Hussein for iftar, Imam asked his daughter to take away one of those two. Isn't that zuhud? That he doesn't want to eat if do the iftar with two ni'mats of Allah. No. Throughout his life he didn't do like this. He used to do with one only. This requires a lot of trust in what lies in Allah's hand. So you are ignoring what is available in your hand because you have more trust upon what is available in Allah's control. That's the peak of zuhud. It's not easy to become Imamul Muttaqeen. You know, it's not easy to become Qa'idul Ghurril Muhajjaleen. Al Ghurril Muhajjaleen are those of the mu'mins on the Day of Judgment when they will be resurrected from their graves. There will be noor of Allah shining from their foreheads. The noor will be coming outbursting from their foreheads. So all those people who will be resurrected from the graves on the Day of Judgment, who have the noor of Allah shining from their foreheads, Imam Ali is the imam of all those people. So that's why he has so much nuraniyat, you know. So we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he did the iftar on that night, he did not sleep. He did his prayers, he did his dua, and he was walking in the yard of the house. Sometimes he used to come out of the room and look at the sky. And he said, "Hiya, hiya, wallah. I swear to Allah, that's the night." That means that's the night which Allah promised me, or Rasulullah promised him, which is one and the same thing. Because the Prophet has already prophesied inshallah, on the Sunday I would mention the conversation that took place between the Holy Prophet and Imam Ali alayhi salam about the prophecy, how Imam Ali would be killed in the whole long hadith, inshallah, which I will mention on Sunday, inshallah. So, Prophet had already prophesied to Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam that your beard will become red with the blood of your head. This is the night in which the promise is going to happen. And Imam Ali is waiting for that night. And he goes before the time of Fajr, when Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain were still there in the house. Before the time of Fajr, Imam Ali goes towards the Masjid al-Kufa. And as the time of Fajr arrives there in the Masjid, he is waking up
Imam Ali is waking up all those people who are available in the Masjid al-Kufa. Ibn Muljim, la'natullah alayh, is also available. He is not sleeping, but he is lying over his stomach, which is the way the shaitan lies over his stomach, and it's condemned in Islam to sleep over your stomach. And he is hiding the sword, which was dipped in the poison, under his belly. Imam Ali also wake him up and said, I know, why did you come today? I know why did you come, he said once. And I know what you are hiding. Imam Ali knew the whole intention. But it's the fariza of an imam that he's even waking up his enemy for the time of Fajr prayers. And now, after that, when Imam Ali alayhi salam stands in the mihrab and he goes into the sajda, he starts his prayers, you know, we find that during the prayers, when Ibn Muljim comes and strikes over the head of Imam Ali, it was the same place where Amr ibn Abdawud, la'anatullah alayh, strike Imam Ali's head. And it was the same point where Ibn Muljim, la'anatullah alayh, strike over the head of Imam Ali. And the blood came out. Imam Ali, you know, the blood came out. The musalla became all wet with the blood, you know. And the nida of Jibreel was heard by everybody. Ala qutila Aliyun al-Murtada, qutila ibn Amr al-Mustafa. You know, Ali al-Murtada is killed. And the son of the uncle of Mustafa, of Rasulullah, is killed. In other words. And everybody in the city of Kufa heard the voice and nida of Jibreel. This is the most superior of wasi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is being killed. And everybody rushed. Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein rushed towards the Masjid al-Kufa. They found Imam Ali is lying over the musalla, and he was picking up the soil in the mihrab and pouring over his head. Minha khalaknakum wa fiha nu'idukum wa minha nukhrijukum taratan ukhra. We created you from the soil, and towards the soil we are returning you back, and we will resurrect you back from the soil. Imam Ali is pouring the soil over his head. And as Imam Hassan came and asked that who killed you, and you know, Imam Ali said to him, first lead the prayers. First, you know, Imam said to him, first lead the Jamaat prayers, you know, Imam Hassan, because that's the fazilat time. That's the awwal al-waqf. So Imam Hassan was commanded by Imam Ali to go and lead the prayers. Imam Hassan led the prayers of Fajr with Jamaat, so that the time of the Fazilat does not pass by. And Imam Ali is lying there. And after they were done from the prayers, the riwayat says, they carried Imam Ali alayhi salam over their shoulders, just like the Imam Ali is still alive, but it was carried just like the janaza. The janaza of a person is carried over the shoulders. Ala rahmatullah. على القوم الظالمين فسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما يحول بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به رضوانك ومن اليقين ما يهون علينا به مصيبات الدنيا اللهم أمتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقوتنا ما أحييتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا بحق محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من انصاره واشياعه واتباعه واعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين